Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Thank you for tuning in to the Dr. Copertino Show. And do we have a show for you? You know, there's a lot of people laying around talking about, I ain't got this, I ain't got that, I ain't gonna never have this. I don't even think I deserve that. But we're going to hear from on high on how you really can. You really can take up your cot and walk. And we know everything goes to bed with us at night. Okay, but you know our routine. We're going to have a word of prayer first. Hallelujah, God in heaven, we thank you. We thank you for waking us up this morning. Don't know what we're going to do. Don't even know how you did it. But we thank you. We have another opportunity to say yes to your way and yes to your will and yes to everything that needs done in the world that you have set us in. We're grateful, God. May not act like it all the time, may not show it, but we're grateful, truly from our hearts, we're grateful. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you. God, give us the strength to take up our cot and walk. Walk for you in that name, the only name given under heaven, by which men can, will, should be saved. And his name is Jesus. And nobody else went before him or after him and says, okay, I'm going to take a nation. And I'm going to stop death within that nation. I'm going to do all the things that they want done. No, no, no. And have it come true. In the name of Jesus, that name, we thank you. Amen, God. Amen and amen. Take up your cot and walk. You have suffered enough. You have suffered long enough. You've cried and you've prayed. Oh, my goodness. Most people don't know when you pray. All of the essence of you has got to be in harmony with that prayer. Your soul has got to say yes to what you're saying. Your spirit has got to say yes to what you're uttering. And, of course, the body has got to say, yes, I follow, yes. Hey, you prayed long enough. It's time to get up and stand up once and for all for what you want and what you desire and, of course, what you deserve. Every man deserves something. He's just got to figure out how he can bring it to manifestation. And the only way is through the Spirit of God, because the Spirit is what gives utterance and being to all things. Without that, we're all dead men. But you know, we're created in the glory of God. He's the one that said a cattle on a thousand hills belongs to me. Well, somebody might say, well, hey, give me some of that. You have the essence within you to do the same thing. By his word, the world was created. By your world, your word, you also can create the world you desire and that you want. And we're going to learn how. No more messing around. No more playing around with the life that you have right now. You deserve the best. Yes, you do. Don't let Satan and anyone else on 2 feet looking like Satan, trying to serve him on the down low. Don't let anyone tell you that you don't deserve the best. Well, God is the best of all things, created, seen, and unseen. And if we're in his likeness, like the Bible says we are, then, of course, you can get a piece of that pie through your word. You, through your word, because all of our debts have been paid. Now, we might not have cast our check in on the table, but all of our debts have been paid. He sent his son, Jesus, down through 42 generations to buy back and redeem what Adam and Eve had just cast aside, had lost through their disobedience. He paid it all. There's a song that says he paid it all. The word says he paid it all on Golgotha, skull, place of the skull, crucifixion mountain. He paid it all. You might not believe that. You might not want to hear it. Oh, well, so what? Hey, I just said it. Jesus paid it all. And you know what else he did? He said, now is the time for you to walk in all you desire, because I'm telling you, I'm getting ready to send you guys, you jokers, out into all the inhabited parts of the world. So you're going to need clothes to do that. You're going to need a little money in your pocket for that. You didn't need it walking through the marketplace. He says, don't take a purse. But going out in the world as we know it now, airplanes, lodging, you have got to eat. It's not your fault if they're going to charge you $99 for a chicken thigh. Come on, I don't know about that. But now is the time for you to walk in all you desire, as long as your desires, guess what, are in harmony with God. Some say, oh, I've been praying, ain't got nothing. I've been calling out to God, ain't got nothing. I've been crying all night, ain't got nothing. I've been begging God, ain't got nothing. Well, let me tell you something. Whatever you've been begging for, you've got to make sure it's in the will of God. What is God's will for man? That we walk upright and love our neighbor. So if we got a problem with our neighbor, our prayers are going to fall on God's deaf ears. If we got a problem with our children and we haven't come to a conclusion with them, whether they want to speak or not, just send them a letter in the mail. They want to ask you text or phone, put a letter in the mail. That's it, and walk away saying, glory to God, hallelujah. So if this is a time, and it is, for you to walk in all that you desire, your desires have got to be in harmony with God. He wants you to be loving. He wants you to be kind. He wants you to put him first. Put the idols away, men and wood. Put them all away. God will send the harvest as long as what you have sown is in harmony with his will. Well, I don't know what his will is. How can I find out what his will is? You've got to get in the word of God. Oh, well, you know, it's 66 books. It's thick. It'll take me 55,000 lifetimes to go through it. I need to know, and I need to know now. What is that? What is his will? Well, 1 John says that those that are not walking in God's will is going to have a problem with him in that great day. And we're in the great day now. We're in the great, great day now. But let me tell you something. When you walk in all you desire, you've got to be ready and able to pay the price to receive it. Well, what is the price? Okay, let me get my pad and pen out. Number one, you've got to put God first in all your deeds. That might sound crazy with everybody running around, you know, worshiping their clothes, worshiping their home, their cars. Oh, my God, that sounds difficult. No, no, no. You got to put him first in everything. If you get a dollar, put 10% aside. You're putting God first. If you get anything new, praising God before you put the dress on, that's giving honor to God. That's putting him first. We've got to look for ways to put God first in our lives. And then second, we've got to look unto others to help their needs. The Bible says that we are our brother's keeper. Yeah, you might hate him. Yeah, you might not like him. Yeah, he might be of another race. That doesn't matter. Anything on 2 feet, 2 ears, 2 eyes, and opening their mouth of speaking, hey, he too was created in God's image. See, we've got to understand that. The people we hate, created in God's image. Those that might have hurt us, created in God's image. Those that stole money from us, created in God's image. Those that took our man away, created in God's image. Those that hurt us beyond measure, all created in God's image. So we got to not so much get around the image. We've got to reach the heart of the person. We're not interested in them. We already know about them. God says love them, okay, fine. But we've got to reach the heart, get to the heart of the matter. God has a heart, spirit heart. We've got what reaches the heart and spirit, it salvages that person. So we've got to understand that if we're ready to walk in all that we desire, we can't cast the man aside. We can't cast the woman aside. Might not like them, might not can stand them. But if God said you must love your neighbor as yourself, then you got to do it. It's as simple as that. It doesn't mean running over there day and night, throwing your arms around them, looking out for their welfare. And you can do that from a window. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. If you see them on the grass slipping, okay, go out there and see what's going on. If you hear loud noises, before you run over there, check it out. Call 911. Looking out for others' interests is what will get God's attention. But people are saying, oh, I can't do this. I can't do that. Oh, I've been sick 99 million years. Oh, I can't hardly hear. Oh, my doctor told me I'm going blind. My goodness. Oh, my goodness. That's enough to drive anybody crazy. How can you get up off of your cot burdened down with all that? But let me tell you something about the cot. Now I'm getting into a subject. You're not going to do anything, good or bad, laying on that cot. A cot back then was something that was made out of wood, little chips of stone. It might have a little coverlet on it, but it wasn't anything comfortable. It wasn't comfortable. But people had gotten comfortable laying on something like that. If their leg hurt, okay, I'm on my cot. If my head hurt, I'm on my cot. Oh, if I don't feel like standing up, back to that. They were back to the cot. When they didn't want to face responsibility, back to the cot. When they got hurt by something someone said, laying down on the cot, using the cot as an excuse. Many people right now are using their bed of affliction as an excuse. Well, you know, doctor said I got three hours to live, so okay, this is it. No, you take 10% of your last day's breath and proclaim God, proclaim His Son. In the name of Jesus, repent. Repent of your sin and turn around. Many people are laying on that cot for no reason. Oh, well, I got hurt. Oh, well, it's the weekend. Oh, well, I've done everything I know to do. Oh, well, you know, it's been a rough week. Oh, well, I don't see anything happening in my life good. Oh, well, oh, well, oh, well. All of that is on the cot. Jesus said, take up your cot and walk. Now, He didn't say take up your cot and sit down. He didn't say get off of that bed of affliction and then wait 15 seconds and lay back down. Jesus said, take up your cot and walk. And obviously, if He said it, you can do it. You can take up your cot. Whatever you took into your heart and arms on that cot, get up from there. Get up and take it up. You know, sometimes it took two people to help the one getting off the cot off and then helping him put that cot upright to get it out of the way. Sometimes you may have to call on your brother. Sometimes you may have to ask for help. But if Jesus said, take up your cot and walk, that means He had a destination for you. He doesn't say, oh, just take up the cot. We don't know it all. We don't know it all. But this much we do know. He said in faith, He said, an inspiration of God the Father, He said, take up your cot and walk. Whatever is burdening you down, get up. Get up on your feet and start taking that cot apart. Walk. Where are you going? Number one, you're going and seek God's favor. You're going to pray. You're going to walk into your prayer closet and pray. You're going to thank God, number one, that, hey, here I am. I might not want to come here. I might didn't ask to come here. I might hate my parents, but, oh, my God, here I am. What do I do? All of that kind of talk and thinking is wrapped up in many people's souls today. They're using everything in the world to lay down on that cot. My check was short. My daughter hates me. My son hasn't called me. The men in my life are no good. The women in my life are not any good. Oh, doctor said I'm going to die in a year. Oh. Get up. Take up. Get up. You've got to get up first in order to take up. Get on up. If you need help, God, if you're real, help me. You know He's real, but you know, He said, test me. Try me out. God, if you can hear me, come on, help me, God, help me. See, it doesn't take a lot of long prayer because God already knows what you need. Well, if you know what I need, why am I talking to Him? Because He wants you to come to Him as Father God. He describes Himself as the Father of all things living, God Almighty. He wants you to do, if Jesus said take it up, you can. He wasn't standing over a dead man saying, take up their cot, because they know that was impossible unless He touched them. But for you and I, our cot has so many things wrapped up around it and in it because we're laying on it. It's not even a shame. Take it up. Whatever burdens is wrapped up in your life, throw it on that cot. Whatever you need and desire that you can't seem to get your hands on. I can't win the lottery. I can't win this. Nobody's giving me nothing. I don't have anything. I have something, but I lost all that. Oh, I don't think I can get it back. Oh, I got too many enemies watching me. Oh, I got too many foes on my trail. Oh, my God, all that is on that cot with you. When you're laying on that cot, all of those, and oh, my God, there's idiosyncrasies. They're there. All of your hurts, your trauma, childhood trauma, trauma stored in the heart, the bone. Oh, my God, trauma in the bone is, oh, my God, that's some pretty, pretty tough trauma. But when it's unresolved and we keep walking and walking and talking, it goes into the bone. My God, and you know how hard that bone is. But if Jesus said, take up your cot, that means get up with all your fears. Get up with all your unexplained expectations. Get up with all of your dreams that seem like they're not going to come true. Get up with that sickness that's been holding you down. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Get up first, then take up your cot and walk. Well, walk where? Where am I going? You're going into the arms of Jesus. You're going to walk somewhere and sit down and say, God, speak to me. God, Holy Ghost, through me, through God, speak to me, tell me something. Now, I got off the bed of affliction. I didn't want to do it, but your son said, do it. I was comfortable laying there. I was okay laying there, sick or not, dying or not. At least I had that to lay on. Nobody was going to come near me because they thought I was sick and downtrodden, down and out. Now, I picked up my cot. You know all about it. Now I'm walking. Where do you want me to go? When Jesus said, take up your cot and walk, there obviously was a destination. Walk. He didn't mean walk to the cliff and jump off. He didn't mean walk out the door and sit back down. Jesus said, take up your cot and walk. And any time a person is walking, he's got to come to a destination. Your destination is into the arms of God. Whatever you need, God got it. I know that sounds crazy, sounds trite. You're saying, oh, look at the world, it's so crazy. Oh, wait a minute, look at me. I ain't got nothing. I was told I ain't gonna never have anything. My friends can't be trusted. They're all pretending. They ain't got nothing either. They don't know that I know they ain't got nothing either. But he's talking to me, you. Take up your cot and walk. All the hell you're facing, wrap it up in that cot. Come on, take it up. Get off of it. Throw it in the cot and walk into the arms of God. Well, how? Oh, my God, this woman is driving me crazy. How do you walk into the arms of God? Number one, you're saying, God, I need you, and I can't get along without you. I've been doing it all in my own strength. Oh, I did this. Oh, I'm putting this on. Oh, I'm going here and there, not knowing that God is right there from the within without. He says, your body is the temple of the living Holy Spirit, the essence of what and who I am. So you're going to walk into newness with God. You're going to say, God, make me whole. I can't do it. I've tried. I'm tired of being a liar, and I'm tired of begging, and I'm tired of plotting deaths. You know, I'm tired of talking about people like 55,000 dogs every day. I'm tired of it. Here I am. None of that has worked. I've had all this money. I've had all these possessions. They're all gone. Yes, I can say my boss did it. You know, I had a crooked partner. The fact is they're gone. G-O-N-E. What you had might be gone. So it's time now for you to make up your mind. Okay, you know what? I ain't got nothing. I thought I still might not have anything. But whatever this God is about, I'm gonna prove it false. I'm going to prove it true. You know, there's a group called Jehovah's Witnesses. It's coming around the people's doors, you know, back when I was a younger lady. And they kept coming so much so that I just opened the door. And you know what? I started studying this little blue book with them because I said, you know what? I'm going to put these people to shame. They keep running from door to door. I got something for them. I'm going to prove whatever they're saying is wrong, and then that's it. That's the end of them. Well, I ended up spending 26 years with them because I could not do it. No one is going to prove God wrong. No one is going to prove his son wrong. If the son said to walk, walk into the arms of God. Promise God that you're going to follow his utterances. You might say, well, how am I going to do it? Well, the Bible says don't forsake assembling yourselves in the churches. Well, problem. The churches are not any good, you might say. You might say, oh, well, there's three sitting in there for a church for 500. What's happened? Oh, my God, they're not any good either. Can't make real friends there. He said, do not forsake. So that means if you don't do anything but go in there and sit down. Sometimes you have to go in church and just sit down and mind your own business. If the pastor's a crook, oh, well, I'm here because God said. If these people running around here not faithful tithers, they don't give a dime. Oh, well, you know what? God said. You know, if you see a lot of mayhem going on, they're unfriendly. I'm going to tell you something. I think people learn to hate through the church. I'm saying that. Some people are afraid to sit in there because their hearts are ripe and, you know, they want to go for God for real and they want to sit there and they want to sing and they want to praise, they want to worship. They just want to give their lives to God at that time for that experience. And people get upset with that. Many have told me Satan is running them. Well, whatever, God still said. He has not changed. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. So just your presence, your sitting there being real is enough to run 1,000 devils out the way, but don't go in there without the blood of Jesus. Covering you from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. Take the blood in there with you. And whether you open your mouth up or not, the devils have got to bow down to Jesus in the spirit. They're not going to come messing with you because they know you fill with the Holy Ghost. set up in there as some kind of corrective measure, meaning, okay, you fools, he done already told you he's coming back, and the judgment's going to start here at the church. You can be a light in a flea-bitten, darkened church world. Oh, yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can walk that way. And you know another way you can walk? Jesus said, take up your cot and walk. You know another way that you can actually do this? You can walk right into organizations that need people to volunteer. You might can get a word in. You know, I know they're trying to sue people and they're taking away Christian rights. Can't nobody take away what God has given you. Hallelujah. I'm going to say it again. No one can take anything away from you that God has given. These doors that God has opened, I defy Satan in the name of Jesus right now to even touch the door, let alone try and close it. Hallelujah. I said it in the name of Jesus. All the holy angels around the throne, clap your hands and say, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. No one can do that. Whatever destination you walk to, because you know Jesus got your back, keep walking, because that's your deliverance. People don't talk that way anymore. Well, I'm going to church. You're going to church to be delivered. You done whole-mongered all week long. You done lied to two or three people past week. You done told one or two you hate them. You done stole from maybe five or six. Listen, you need deliverance. You have the letter of the law, but the Spirit has got to touch that letter. And you know how you get the Spirit of God? By obeying His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came down through 42 generations, and he said that things of men are what I'm fond of. So now here we are. Here we are. Blood running in our veins, eyes popping out. It's time to take up your cot and walk. Whatever you done did or didn't do, shut the door and ask Jesus to padlock it. Hallelujah, because you might get the key and let demonic possession in again, people you shouldn't be walking with, people you shouldn't be hanging with, people certainly that you should not be listening to. But walking into God's deliverance, you can't beat that. We all need to be delivered from something. The liar needs to be delivered from lying. The con man needs to be delivered from being a con man. The woman of the night, or whatever they call them. I don't know what they call them anymore, but whatever they are, they need to be delivered so they can leave these men alone. Hallelujah. I just saw something on television where a doctor gave a woman AIDS. I'm saying that, yes, of course, you know, it might have been fictitious, nothing. Who knows? But I saw it, and I took heed to that. You got to be very careful here. Jesus said, take up your cot and walk. That means you've got to walk somewhere and tell the story of Jesus Christ. Ain't nobody else afraid of telling the story about their God. They're bold with it. You don't hear people going around asking people, are you saved? Have you been saved? Do you know our Lord Jesus Christ? No, you don't hear it, because the ones walking about has transfixed themselves to be something else. Now here's on us. Here's on us. One minister to 15,000 in certain places, and many of them don't have gas and cars to really get to where they are to go. But never no mind that. Jesus said, take up your cot and walk. Walk into the lives and hearts of people that need support and to hear a word. Everybody is hurting. Everybody now is scared. Everybody is saying, am I going to be bombed next? Oh, my God, who knows what's going to happen? But I'm going to say this. People, if you're blaming God, 6,000 years ago through Adam and Eve, he gave us an opportunity through the first human pair. They messed up, so therefore we're messed up. They passed the gene down to sin and dereliction. Here we are. But we're holding on to the coattails of Jesus Christ. We're holding on to the hem of his garment. We're holding him, period, because he said, those that honor me, honor my Father who is in heaven. And I guarantee you this. I guarantee this. You honor God, he's going to have you honored here on earth. You put God first, oh, hallelujah, right now on earth in your life, he's going to make you first in the heavenly realm. You tell God, whatever it is, I'm ready to be worked on. Watch how he works. Watch how he works. No, you couldn't get what you wanted. If you got what you wanted, you wouldn't be listening on this show right now. I hope this show is for those that are weak, weary travelers going through life, laying around on a cot. But Jesus this morning has said, get off of it. Get off of it. And you know how you're not going to get back on it? I'm going to take it out. It becomes now my possession. Yes, I'm not going around anymore begging God on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then going out disrespecting him Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and Sunday. No, I'm not going to do it. No, and you shouldn't either. Haven't you had enough? I told my sister that. She was going through another crisis. I said, haven't you had enough of this type of lifestyle? What more does it take? You know what? You can always tell when people are struggling with issues. Hair starts falling out. They start getting fat. Start having a big belly pooch in the front. Start showing signs of confusion. Start howling at people, acting in anger at the slightest. Hey, who wants to live a life like that? Especially if you look back 30 years at your pictures. Some people say, oh, I want to kill myself. I didn't know I got this bad. Creeps up on you. Let the Spirit of God creep on you. Let the Spirit of the Holy Ghost rest, rule, and abide upon you. Take him. The Bible says his yoke is easy. Take Jesus Christ as your buddy. Take him as your friend. And another place you can walk to, let me tell you something. You can walk into the heart of community. No doubts about it. The community needs you. Children need you. Animals need you. Even they're crying. People in these pet veterinarian places are saying for some unknown reason, all the animals are just shedding all their hair. I guess they're reacting in fear to a lot of what's going on. God said, domesticate the earth. Now look at what we've done. You know what? I'm praying to God that we can fix this stuff in his spirit. We're leaving the generation coming after us a phony, bogus bill of goods. We're handing them nothing. They've gotten advanced degrees, ready to work, ready to help salvage the world. And look at what we have done, walking in flesh. Can't hardly get a doctor's or dentist appointment because of our behavior and prior lifestyle. Look at this. You better get off of that cot while you can because a storm is coming. You're not going to be able to get off of it then, but while it is now, while you're hearing the sound of my voice in a resounding manner saying, take up your cot, get off of it, burn it up, and walk into the arms of Jesus Christ. I look forward to hearing you in spirit and seeing you likewise in spirit next week on the Hour of Power, the Dr. Cappuccino Show. You're not going to do anything without power. You can't buy power. You can assume it. You can act it out. You can fake it till you get it. But let me tell you something. Real power through the Holy Ghost is all the power you need. And once you get that, the whole world will be transfixed because you're going to be the change you want to see in the world. Have a marvelous weekend. And again, this is Marcia, Dr. Cappuccino on the Dr. Cappuccino Show.